What is happening? This is Ryan. I have Alex Levin on today. Alex is the founder of Regal.io. And one of the cool things that he did was he took, as a founder, from founder-led sales from 0 to 9 million in basically 2 years, doing some really cool things in the space in terms of the prospect journey that we get into, specifically aligns with his offering, his SaaS solution. So not going to want to miss this. Check it out.
How do you grow like a VC-backed company without taking on investors? Do you want to create a lifestyle business, a performance business, or an empire? How do you scale to an exit without losing your freedom? Those are the questions, and this show is the answer.
Welcome, everybody, to the Scale Up Show. This is your host, Ryan Staley, and I have Andy Joles on with me today, who is principal at Roxology. So just a real quick background on Andy. He's got a 25-year plus executive and many CMO roles. He was a full stack marketer. He's re-architected 6 brands, built funnels from the ground up. He's been a B2B leader in businesses from pre-revenue all the way to 600 million. He's also the co-chair of the CMO group for Pavilion, which has got over 6,000 plus GTM leaders. And he's active in several marketing communities. He began with machine learning and AI all the way in August of 22. And he currently operates his own consultancy, helping leaders both with marketing strategy and AI for go-to-market. Andy, welcome. Happy to have you on the show, man.
Hey, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me, Ryan.
Yeah, dude, I'm pumped, man, because like you're like a brother from another mother when it comes to your fascination slash nerdery when it comes to AI. And so enjoyed our conversation that we had. Andy and I are going to be doing a joint basically panel together specifically for fractional executives. I actually might be out by the time this is released, but that's how we kind of got to know each other. And so, yeah. Andy, I know I gave you a real quick background on you, but why don't you just give us a real quick backdrop on yourself for context purposes in terms about like what you're focused on now and then kind of where you're heading, and then we'll take it from there, man.
Yeah, let me talk about like the ML piece of this, because I think that's a great place to start. So 2018, 2019, I was working in cloud infrastructure, and we were starting to build a machine learning practice. And that was my first real exposure to like machine learning. What is this thing? What is it that we're trying to do and solve for? And I was getting really interested in it to the point that even when I left cloud infrastructure and moved on I actually moved on and worked in payments, like I was still like, this is really curious to me. Like this is really, I think this is going to really change the world in ways that we can't really see. And then started like reading and playing around with like GPT-2 kind of early on, and then joined a generative AI startup in the languages sector. So I could like really just, be in it. But as you know, a lot has really happened since, the Transformers in 2018, and we couldn't really have predicted that we would be where we are, which is, probably like one of the 4 greatest changes we'll probably have in our lifetime in terms of productivity and impact. So it's good to be involved.
I think it is the biggest change, man. Like, I mean, just with like how fast things are evolving, and like, it's a big change where, and I don't know if you share the same sentiment as me, but like, I believe half the reason why people are not using it before is just not being able to wrap their mind around how to use it, how to prioritize what to use, and like what specific use cases. And then at the same time, like emotionally deconstruct, like, how big this is and how important it is. Would you agree or disagree on that?
Yeah. I mean, look, I think first off, for at least, part of the audience, like, we were really in the predictive AI era before we were in the generative AI era. Right. So I often use this analogy, like with family, is to say like, well, the predictive AI era is like, if you have a Netflix account and you're watching Netflix, it's predicting what you should watch next. The generative AI version of that, which we don't have, but should come, is it'll actually generate the content that you should actually watch next based on what you've watched, right? So that's going to be that's the difference. So I think that's what's a real breakthrough on this, is that we're not just pointing to something that has already built and saying like, well, this is the thing that you actually need. Now we're actually just to be able to like construct. And so I think once, you know, and I think OpenAI gets credit for this, is like once they could actually put this into a UX that it was pretty easy for people to do, and see the results, and you know, and the models worked well enough. The data sets were big enough. We had enough parameters in the data, and it could work fast. And the output could be pretty good. Some hallucinations, which we could talk about, right? But it's pretty good. And as long as you have the mindset that it's like, it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to get me like further down the path than I could have been before. I think you and I are seeing lots of examples of doing things in minutes that used to take us hours, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, so let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about, you know, AI for go-to-market. And
yeah,
that's one of the most, like, I've seen hot terms thrown around lately. So how would you define that, just so that we're all on the same page in terms of kind of what we're focused on with that?
Well, so again, we take this a number of different ways, but like, but for me, I think what we saw in go-to-market was sort of the natural place to start with, like the lowest hanging fruit. Maybe the fruit that was like laying on the ground rotting, like it's so such low hanging fruit, right? Just, so it's like, let's start with the problem statement of a blank page and a blinking cursor, which this really helps solve any problem that fits that use case. So I think 2023 especially was like the year of writing in go-to-market. It was, let's figure out how do I apply this in every marketing writing use case that we have? How do I apply it in every sales writing use case that we have? And so I think that was just sort of the natural place to start. And that's where the tools at the very outset, that's where they lended themselves. Whether you're talking about, and we can talk about a lot of the different tools that are out there, it doesn't matter really which tool you're talking about. That's kind of where the focal point was. And I think that was the right place to start. And I've certainly seen that in the teams that I've worked with. It's like, we've seen, you know, 5x ROI, in a very short amount of time in just a few months, from a content perspective, because you're just able to produce, great content at a much, much higher pace. So I think that was where it started. And we could talk about that, but then we could talk about sort of where we're going. I'll let you decide where you want to go.
Hello, this is Ryan here. Real quick, if you are enjoying this episode, please hit the subscribe button and leave a comment or review. If you want more help or just want to learn more about what the top SaaS CEOs and founders are doing, check out my website at www.ryanstaley.io. Join my newsletter, check out other free content resources I have there, and let me know if you want to scale your business. Now back to the episode. Yeah, let's talk about where we're going, man. Like, how would you, so you're saying go-to-market is obviously like more on the sales and marketing, you know, core, low, low, low hanging fruit, right? That's like right. Notes consolidation and CRM. That's, you know, writing content, rewriting content, all those kind of areas. So you'd bucket that under the AI for GTM. Now, where do you think things are going this year then?
So this year, I think it's going to be a lot more about, you know, the data analytics piece. And I think there's going to be a lot more on the, like the imagery, voice and video piece in go-to-market. So I think, we're already starting to see this, and you and I have talked about, RevOps is really starting to kind of get a lot more involved this year and trying to figure out, how do I actually look at all the different places in a journey and figure out like, can I insert this? Can I actually remove friction? I'll start with like the data analytics side. Just the ability to take as an example, like taking all your records And we'll talk, I'm sure you and I will talk about privacy, but the way we were doing this in 2023 is we would just anonymize those records, dump them into ChatGPT or you know another tool and say like, hey, I'm looking for you to give insights based on these. And you might even start with as loose as a prompt as that, but you might actually know what you're actually trying to understand and say like, well, I'm really trying to understand how to like look at my win-loss data as an example and figure out like, how do I hone my ICP from this data? Like, is there something that actually tells me like in that you can actually look at the data and you can actually tell me like, what is really the ICP based on what you see? So I think we're starting to see a lot more of that kind of work because of you know how good the tools are at really doing data analysis. And I know where I started, like if you're looking for a place to get started before Ryan and I tackle the privacy issues, like I just started with a lot of public data. So one of my use cases is I took the University of Michigan. It's my alma mater. They have a consumer sentiment index that is really mm-hmm. widely well-known, well-published, and they published the data. So I just took the data and downloaded a CSV file and then uploaded it into ChatGPT and said, tell me what I should like, what would be a summary of the data that you see from this? And it does it. And so that's a great way to just sort of like start playing around with these tools. And I think maybe that's probably one of yours and my like big lessons is I just use a lot of this like in my personal life too. So so I'm always telling people like don't wait to like for the work use case to show up. Do what I did. Like I went and found data. I'll tell you another one I did, which was really fun. I took every play that ESPN does, like a play-by-play for the, you know, mm-hmm. and I took for the national title game, Michigan, Washington. And I just took all the plays and I said, write me a summary of the game based on the plays. So again, I'm just taking data that you can actually see out in the, you know, in the ether and I'm plugging it in and saying like, can you actually write me a summary based on this? So I just think like the data analytics opportunities, because I think we're swimming in data, but trying to get insights out of that data is actually really, really difficult. So on the marketing side, we could use these for surveys, and not just sort of quantitative surveys, but the tools will actually help you analyze all of your open-ended survey questions. It's quite good at that. That was a real pain point for us as marketers before. We'd be like, well, what do I do with all these open ends? I'm just going to try to put them all in a spreadsheet and look at them and see if I can figure out like if there's any common ground. Generative AI is exceptional at that kind of use case, right? It's just basically say, you can actually just do it. You tell me what you actually see. I don't even have to like instruct very much. So I think that's one I mentioned. So data analytics. I think the second one, which I think you and I are both playing around with, is really around the next step in content, which is around images, voices, and video. So I don't know if you're like me, but like I get pretty frustrated using a lot of these tools for images because for one, like I can't get the captions to work very well. Have you figured that out? Are you getting captions to work yet?
Captions, you know what? I delegated that to my team because of the annoying aspect of getting, you know, the words. Like if you use Dolly or something like that, it's it'll infuse like random words in there all the time that make no sense. Jumbled letters, I should say.
Right. Random letters, right? So it doesn't do a good job. But I think we're going to start to see this year that as that problem gets fixed, then you're going to open up the universe. Like you're delegating this to your team today, right? But if that gets fixed, then everybody on the team will be able to do this. And it's going to be, it's going to be a breakthrough. And I think you're going to see a lot in video and whether that's, just being able to create videos from images and bring some images to life. We're starting to see a lot of startups, you know, around that. As you pointed out to me before we got on this call, like you expected me to speak French, because like, you know, I posted on LinkedIn using a tool where it's cloning my voice and actually having me speak French in my voice, which is really, I mean, for me, it was kind of breakthrough. It was like, oh, I've seen tools where it's like, oh, this will actually dub what I'm saying into French, but it won't sound like me. So now that it's actually doing those kinds of things and can actually get to a real AR or a real AI avatar or clone, I think could really open up some stuff in GTM. You know, on one hand, like I think email is going to get a lot more competitive this year because of AI tools. I think like we're going to see like a lot better email from, and it's going to get scary too, because it's like all of the emails that we get that we can immediately recognize and go, well, this is phishing, this is a scam. Like those are going to get better, right? Generative AI is probably going to fix a lot of that stuff. But even though that's going to happen sort of on the tech side, I think you're going to see there is going to be opportunities to stand out with imagery and video and doing things that make it to actually make it more personalized. So, mm-hmm. So I think we saw a lot of that stuff in text. You're going to see some of that still in text, but I think you'll start to see a little bit more in video and voice. It's really impressive. I mean, you and I know like from a podcast perspective that you'll be able to take this podcast and use a tool and, you know, like remove the ahs and the ums and the likes, and you can do all of that. And AI is actually doing that work. But it can also do things like voice cloning, to where like if you and I gave the wrong date for our presentation next week, that we could go back and actually fix it. Mm-hmm. So to be able to do some of those things, I think is going to be really, really powerful. But I think the last thing on the cloning piece of this is, you and I are very clearly comfortable doing this. And that's why that's why you have a show. That's why I come on a show. Right. But there's a lot of people out there who aren't comfortable, but they could have their AI clone go do it. I think some of that's going to come. I don't know if that's going to come in 2024, but I think those are the big things for me.
Okay. And then what do you think about SEO as well? Like, because I know you've talked about that with the generative search function that Google is launching. I've looked into that as well. I've heard, you know, massive dips in terms of traffic just because people aren't needing to go through and click through all the ads and do that on Google. So what's your take on what's going to happen over the next, you know, 12, 24 months with search just in general and then generative search?
Yeah. So I think... the Google results were possibly a little bit of an indicator, because it was interesting. A few weeks ago, you would ask everybody like, oh, do you think search will be impacted? And they'll say yes. And they're like, well, do you think Google stock will be impacted? And they'd say no. And I'd say, well, okay, these are somewhat related. It's not their like only business, but it's the biggest part of the business. I think we're already starting to see a couple of things. One, we're starting to see that if we have form fields to ask people how they found us, that ChatGPT and other tools are starting to show up in the answer. So if you're starting to see that, then you probably want to figure out like, how do you get ready for that? We're also starting to see, as you mentioned, Google has search generative experience. They are trying to figure out how to get the results like on the page. They've already been doing this for years and years and years, but they're trying to do it now with Gen AI. So if that happens, your organic results are getting pushed further down. And if that happens and you're not tuning in such a way for what's being tagged as SGE, then you might get hurt. Now there's a lot of discussion. I've been in quite a few discussions about this. some folks say, well, you might actually just lose a lot of vanity traffic and it might not actually impact you that much. That seems reasonable, but I also think it's still an opportunity to like to pay attention to this. I'll say, I think the one thing like I tell people to just do if they haven't done this already is I think generative AI wants to see the answer up front. Like the whole idea of developing content in the novel form where I'm telling like, you know, the beginning and the middle, the end, and I got to wait till the end to find out that the butler did it. I think that's not what generative AI wants. They want to know that the butler did it right up front. And then you can actually lay out the story. So that's one of the things that like we're seeing like, okay, let's tune to this. Let's try to make sure that we've got a pretty high level summary at the beginning of every content piece, because that's probably going to help on the experience. And, you know, and I think the best thing to do though is just start paying attention to this. Like if you haven't actually gone and you've got to go into SGE and actually approve it so that you can actually see it in your browser. Again, be a user first. So common theme. So, but I think, look, I think this is going to be an interesting year from the standpoint that if search starts to go down a little bit and you've done nothing, you're probably going to feel it. If email is going to start to get flooded with more AI assisted email, then that's going to get more competitive and conversion rates are going to probably drop. So you better be thinking about what to do to get ahead there. And again, that's where we talked about some of the things like, you know, play around. I think what was the statistic? I can't remember the exact stat, but I remember, Loom had a very nice exit to Adobe. But if you look to see what percentage of emails actually have video in them, it's tiny. I mean, how many do you get a day that have a Loom or Vidyard or any of the providers? How many would you say you get a day?
A day? I don't get that many at all. Like, I mean, with video, I think even pictures are limited, man. So it's probably, yeah, I don't remember the last time somebody sent me an email with a video in it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when you know, back when, like, I'm sitting in the CMO seat at a company where everybody's trying to sell me Stack software and I'm getting a lot more of those kinds of emails, but I'd still only get like one a day. And you sort of look at that and go, wow, I'm getting like, you know, I'm getting over 50 of these other kinds of emails that are just like text emails. So I think there's an opportunity there to get better. And I think I think AI is going to help with all of that.
Yeah. No, it's true, man. I mean, like, you covered a lot there. So with the generative search, like, just to put a bow on that one, and then I'm going to go back to video, it's just like, I mean, I think Google's got like $80 billion tied up in just search revenue, right? So I think that's the number one reason why they delayed so long with releasing Bard. And then that's why Bard isn't very good either. They were trying to shoehorn that business model into it. Now, Gemini got released recently, I don't know what, late last year, and it's gotten way better in my opinion, right? And there's some specific use cases that it's good for. So I could see that being like really, really strong. And I think there's going to be alignment with companies specifically based on their workplace stack. So if you got a Google workspace company, they're going to want to integrate with Bard or Gemini, right? If you got a Microsoft 365, they're going to want to integrate with Copilot or GPT, right? So I think those are extensions that happen. And then there's other folks that, you know, in the mid or smaller companies are going to be a little more flexible with that, right? Because they're not as deeply integrated into that, you know?
I think there's one other piece of this, which is pretty important, which is, you know, the data is the oil in this, or maybe even the enriched uranium. Like, it is a precious, precious piece of this equation, and Google has the most, right? So and they certainly have many of the most talented engineers and many of the most like talented engineers at the beginning of this. Like they have the deep mind, folks. And so they just have like, they have a lot going for them in terms of solving this equation. And I'm with you. We'll talk about the tools we use, but Bard is definitely Bard and Gemini, like, you know, however we're going to call it for right now. Like that is definitely a tool in my bag. And I think it actually does quite a few things well, that, you know, make me carry it in my bag, right? If I'm just going to have like a few tools, it's definitely going to be one of them. And I think we're going to start to see some big improvements from them. I like the argument of like they and Microsoft have sort of the integration, advantage of just being able to like, just if you already use Workplace, then I don't have to force feed adoption. Like you'll just use it because I can get it into the Chrome browser. But I do think like it's going to matter just how it performs. And I'll also say this, like one of the things I don't see written about very much is it's also just faster. Like in a lot of cases to me, I just feel like if I need a quicker answer, like it seems to be the latency seems a little bit better for me than some of the other tools out there. So, but again, I think we're at a stage right now where I recommend, first off, like I'm a rule of three person. I just try to like, I think part of the problem statement of where we're at the beginning of this is that I think there's so many tools that people are a little paralyzed. So I try to apply the rule of three and just say, just pick three to use. My three right now, I will tell you, are, and in no particular order, it's Bard, ChatGPT Plus. So it's GPT-4, and we'll talk about why that matters in a minute. And then Perplexity, Perplexity.ai. Perplexity.ai I use because it's more like a Google search experience where I'm seeing footnotes with documentation, right? I'm getting proof that it's not hallucinating and it's not making up. I think you use it as well.
Yeah, I like that tool. That one operates really fast. And I do, the other one that I do use is Claude too. So, and I use Claude for like a lot of AI research papers on it.
That's what it's great for.
Yeah, to comb through, extract information. It's really good at that. There's some like annual report 10K information that it works really good in. So what are your favorite use cases for each of the models you mentioned? I'd love to hear that. Like with GPT, Bard, and then Perplexity. Like you had to name a GTM use case for each one. Like what would they be?
Yeah. So one of the things that Bard, let me start with that one. And I'll just give you a use case like from this week. Like it is exceptional at organizing information into tables. And because it's got that integration into Google Sheets and I'm a Google Workspace person, like that all feels like, oh, this actually just moves really smoothly. And so the use case was I could go to an event where there are a bunch of speakers at that event. And maybe I want to set up meetings with all of those speakers. So I can take all that information and just copy paste it, or I can take a screenshot of it and basically say, build me a table in this. I just find that it actually does that like quicker, faster. And then because of the integration, it seems like it works more fluidly than the other tools. And I find like I actually use that use case a lot where I find information and I just want it organized, pretty quickly. So, and obviously because it's pulling into a table, I can tell it like, okay, I need this formatted in a way that I can pull it into my CRM. So it's pretty good at that kind of thing. Any sort of use case that also sort of plugs in, like if I'm trying to use like, and these are less GTM applications, but But if I'm trying to like figure out flights or do things on maps, like, you know, it's got some of that, you know, it's got some of that stuff. I mentioned on the GTM front for ChatGPT Plus, I think the data analysis stuff is just fantastic and still underutilized. And I'll take this as a moment too, because I mentioned like ChatGPT Plus, like, I think you and I even talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that I went to a dinner and asked a bunch of GTM executives. There were 20 of us there. I'm like, okay, who uses ChatGPT? Every hand goes up. Okay, who uses the paid version, ChatGPT Plus? Out of 20, like three go up. And I'm one of those three. And I think this is the sort of the head shaking part of the problem. Oh, and then I asked a follow up. I'm like, who's using the mobile app? And, you know, and for me, like, you know, it's like, it's, you know, it's right there. That's where I keep it. Right. I think you're the same. So it's like, are you like, how immersed are you getting in this? And I think that's part of the problem. The biggest part of the problem in GTM right now is somehow we haven't pulled people across to realize, like, look, the base use of these tools is okay, but you're going to see an amazing breakthrough if you just pay $20 a user per month, or 25, depending on teams, more if you're moving to enterprise. I'm using ChatGPT as the example, right? So the ROI is totally there. And the studies are starting to come out. I think Paul Ritzer posted something from the Marketing AI Institute of like seeing like, you know, it was like at least a 10x, you know, return. I think it was like more like 30x or something.
Dude, it's gotta be like at least 100x. Even if you don't know how to use it, it should be 10x. If you really know how to use it, it's like 1000x. Like, I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of a super user like that. I have the Teams version, you know what I mean? So like, I mean, data analysis, like what you talked about, like so here's a simple use case most people don't think about too. So my son did his science project on AI, right? And the impact it had on education. And so he interviewed, I helped him with it obviously, right? Cause I was like, right, you should do it. Like, I'm trying to get him immersed, right? And he's doing amazing things even at the age of 13. That his teachers don't even know about, right? And so
it's cool.
So one of the outputs of the project though was he had an Excel basically page, or I should say Google Sheets, right?
Yeah.
And it had 8 candidates that used AI and 8 that did not, had their test scores and how fast they did it, right? All I did was took a screenshot of that table and asked it to create visuals for it, for his science project. And we did this together, right? It wasn't just me doing it.
Yeah.
It created like, I don't know, 6 amazing like graphs that were very visually. And it was like, I mean, it was so easy, Andy. And then
it's just so fast, you know, right?
Yeah. And that was just like one example of a picture of something. I didn't even use like the CSV file or an Excel file. And that, like, that's amazing, like within itself right there of doing things like that too. So when you take it and look at, you can do the same thing with dashboards, right? And have it provide insight. So,
well, look, I think part, this is also part of a problem, the problem of where we are right now. I think folks are coming to you and me and other folks, and they're asking like, hey, can I get your, like your list of prompts that you have? And my answer is always like, yeah. And like, that's not really the right question. Because this is not a matter of just like me, like giving you a secret sauce, like for a particular prompt. Now there are some prompts like in that are pretty powerful. And so there's always exceptions, but a lot of this is just like, you need to take the time and you need to change your view of this from, I think like from a solution tool to a thought partner tool, and realize like it's going to actually just be on a journey with you. And so like the example, you could, you know, I think what people don't see is like, you can give a data set like your son's example and you could say, hey, what do you make of this? right? Like, here's a bunch of data. What do you make of this? And it actually might do an okay job, right? But you could also ask it like, well, based on what you see in the data, what questions do you think I should be asking? Like, what insights should I look for? Or you could start with like, I know I'm looking for these three insights, but like, what are four more that you can suggest? And I think that's the powerful piece of this. And I think, the other thing that, since I showed this like on the mobile app, I was talking to somebody who goes on probably a regular like 1 hour dog walk every day. And I'm like, what do you do on the, like, you know, do you listen to music? Do what do you do? And they're like, I listen to music. I listen to podcasts. I'm like, great. I'm like, do this instead for a little bit, or at least partially. Just pull open the ChatGPT app and just start having a conversation with it. And just, you'll see that it's an amazing experience. It's also a very different experience than typing, right? Because we talk in a very different way than we type. And so I have started to do this more and more where I just have a conversation with it. And then the amazing thing about that conversation, unlike most conversations that we have, is that it's all recorded, right? So you have it all to come back to, and then you can go multimedia, right? Like, you can basically, or multimodal, and say, hey, I'm now going to like switch to like, now I'm in text typing mode and this is a great start, but now I'm going to take over here and jump into it. So that's something I'm like, I'm trying to do myself and trying to get other folks to do, just because like, that's going to make you, I think, attack some of the GTM problems that you don't even think that you could solve, because people don't really start with that. They start with a very specific thing that they think it might work. But if you were just sort of being more thought partner oriented, you could just basically say like, I'm having this particular problem in RevOps, and I'm trying to think about marketing attribution. Like, where should I start? Right. And you just start having a conversation, with the tool. So I think that's the part I'm pretty excited about.
Dude, I'm going to try that. I like that concept, because I'm a big walker myself. I don't go on hour long dog walks, but I'm usually like a 15 minute walk. I got to cut up my day a little bit. And,
I'm about a 15, 20 minute. Time for an hour.
Yeah. I don't have time for an hour, but like, that's a good, like good flow. I've used the voice in different situations. It's easy to forget about it, right? Because of that. However, I found some really cool use cases on voice as well with it. And it does, it's funny. So with the voice, if you haven't used it, I know Andy has, but if you listening haven't done it, it'll have like pauses and ums in there and stuff. So it makes it mimic like a real conversation with a human, which is pretty cool. It's got different voices you could pick. And then kind of what you're talking about, like, you could go back to it later. So like, and this is a use case I was thinking about as we were going through, is like, you could literally just go stream of conscious in terms of what you're thinking and then create like actual posts or content from it, which I think is a good use case, right? Specifically if you're more verbal like me and have like fat fingers and don't type very well, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah, I think look, I don't have an iPhone 15 yet, but like, people who have iPhone 15s, like, you could actually make your hot button, you could actually tie it to ChatGPT so that you actually just pressing one button and it'll just come up and you can have a conversation. So people are starting to run that hack, which I think is pretty cool, because really what you're doing there is you're replacing Siri. And I think we should all look to see Siri be dramatically improved, probably by the end of the year. In terms of, because it doesn't have a conversation with you the same way that the, you know, ChatGPT voice does, and some of the other voice, you know, tools that are out there. So,
excellent, man.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, Andy, we are up on time, man. We went way past what we normally do, but love the conversation, man. I could talk to you about this for a long time. So it's cool we're doing the panel together. It'd be a lot of fun, man.
I'm looking forward to it. Exciting.
Yeah. So, where can people find you? Where can they learn more about you? And then we'll wrap things up.
Yeah, so you can of course find me on LinkedIn. So Andy Joels, I'm not the only one, but I think I'm the only one in go to market. And then of course you can find me at aj@roxology.com is my email address. So
best place. Awesome, man. Well, thanks for being on the show, man. This was a lot of fun. I loved it.
Loved it. Looking forward to next week when we're on a panel together.
Definitely, man. Definitely. And thank you for joining us as well. And we will see you all on the next episode.
Thank you for checking out the Scale Up Show. My mission in life is to help founders and revenue leaders avoid all the pain and suffering in revenue growth so they can flip it and create a life of their own design. So if you enjoyed this show, please like, review, share it on social, and more importantly, just share it with a friend. Share it with someone that you think could learn and benefit from what you heard on today. But the more we get the message out, the more people we could help, the bigger the impact we make, and the bigger the community gets, which helps everybody. So once again, thank you for being a loyal listener. I appreciate you and look forward to seeing you on the next episode.